Like, heal me. Not like if it's your will, if you want this to happen. I was just like, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me. Welcome back to episode 98 of the What's the Deal podcast. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you so much. I can't believe it's been 98 episodes of doing this podcast. And I'm grateful for all of you out there. So starting off, I actually want to talk about beards. I want to talk about facial hair. I kind of have two more facial hair than I want right now. After watching the video, you can see. I don't know if it's coming through in the camera. I really have to get into the edit and see if it's too much, but I don't really like my facial hair getting this long, so I was going to shave right before this, but you know what? I was like, I got a little lazy. I don't like shaving. I have to shave probably every 2 to 3 days, and I'll be honest, I don't like it. I'm always cutting myself. I'm always irritated. Got to keep getting new blades or electric razors, and it takes a while. I just like don't like shaving, so I think I might grow a beard. I don't know, but I might grow a beard. Not the greatest timing with the summer months coming here in Texas, where it's going to be about 178,000 degrees here. So probably not the best timing, but I think I might. Producer Tanya does not want me to grow a beard. I've asked about it. I've talked about it. We've discerned it together. Should I grow a beard? The answer is always unequivocally no, but I don't know. Maybe I'll lose my razor and see what happens. But speaking of my face, as you can see, if you're watching this, my face has, you know, as we've talked about, as we've got on this podcast, I have Bell palsy. I've suffered from Bell's palsy the past 4 months. But as you can see, maybe, my face has gotten better. It's gotten a lot better. And I've noticed it's gotten better because people kind of do this thing now. They're like, hey, oh, your face is getting better. Which I love. I love because, you know, people kind of do a double take like, oh, hey, man, it's getting better, right? Which I truly do love. I think sometimes people can feel like they're being weird to me, or like I think it's weird if they make a comment about it. But I'm like, listen, I'm the one with the face. I'm the one with the face that doesn't move. So I'm fine about it. You know, I know how it looks. I see myself. I know how I talk. But I've noticed it got better. People have noticed it got better. And what's crazy is I think part of that healing has come from healing of St. Jude, the relic of St. Jude. So there's a relic of St. Jude going around the country right now. It's stopping at different Catholic churches around the country. And for those of you that don't know, you know, a relic is a fragment of bone, clothes, something associated with a saint that holds, you know, the spiritual powers that the saint maybe had. So like St. Jude was a healer. So his relics still hold that same healing power that Jesus can work through in people. And these relics are special. Every single Catholic church has a relic under the altar in some capacity, or has a relic under the altar. But then there's also relics that are out there in museums, in churches. And this relic of St. Jude is going around the country now. And there's healing services that are associated with it, that are happening. So you should check that out. Actually, you should Google after this where the relic is going to be. But it actually came to our parish, and there was not many parishes it was stopping at in Texas, and one of them happened to be the home parish that we go to. So people reached out to me and Tanya, were like, hey, I heard the relic of St. Jude's going to be in your parish. You should go. Pete should go. And it was good for me, because my natural self, my natural disposition of myself, having been Catholic my entire life, can be one of skepticism, can be one of been there, done that, can be one of, oh, well, those things happen, but they don't happen to me. You know, healing, miracles, crazy stories, they have with other people that are like, I don't know, maybe new to the faith. But, you know, I don't know, I've been around for a long time, I haven't really seen much. So that can be my human disposition. That can be my skeptical disposition. That can be my default sometimes, and I'm working on that. I'm working on that deeply to not be so skeptical of the powers of God, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I've gotten better at it as I've seen Christ's power work through people, work through healing, work through spiritual healing, physical healing. But it's also like a mindset and a state of mind for me that I'm trying to work through, which is to be open to God working in my life. That God wants to work in my life, wants to bring healing, wants to bring spiritual healing, physical healing, wants to bring these things into my life because he's good and he loves me. And he's my dad and he wants to give good things to his son. You know, would a father give a scorpion to a son who asked for a loaf of bread? No. If you had the faith of a size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. I think sometimes I take that sometimes I hear that verse and I take that figuratively. Like, oh, I get it. We can do great things if we have the faith size of a mustard seed. But Jesus obviously could do anything. So I think he also means that literally. But I still hear that verse, say that verse, and still my disposition, my default, you know, fallen nature at heart is kind of like, yeah, but can you really move mountains? You know, I don't know. Can we really do that? If we're just like, mountain over there, move, because I have faith in Jesus. You know, does it work like that? I don't know. It probably does, but my faith is weak, right? Like Jesus says. And so I let this doubt creep into my mind, my heart, you know, and, you know, it creeps in, have to kind of keep it out. And particularly when it comes to stuff like this. So the relic comes through and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm here, I think, because God wants me to be here and he wants me to change my heart probably more than he wants to heal my face, or equally. But he also wants my heart to not be so hard. I come to that conclusion because, you know, I pull up to the relic. I think I'll walk up to the relic. It's at the front of the church. I'll be there for 5 minutes and get some healing. Hop out. I walk in after work, busy day at work. I literally drop my book bag off. I run to church. And there's mass going on. All right. Okay, wow. There's also like 5,000 people here. Like the rows are overflowing. I didn't get in there. I just stood in the back. All right, there's mass going on. Mass, and you know, that was an hour. Mass ends. All right, everyone get in line one by one. We're going to do this. Everyone's going to get a chance to go, you know, ask for healing and relic. And the priest who was leading the mass was this visiting priest. He explained everything. He explained the power of St. Jude and the power of the relic and healing swords have happened. And he really did a great job of bringing people into this like very special moment. And, you know, my impatient heart, my impatient person hears one by one. I'm looking at all the people. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. So he goes, all right, get in line. And people just start kind of filing in. I feel like I was like, you know, like I was in a movie. I was just kind of getting bumped around like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Excuse me. People go, oh, excuse me. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I somehow, God gave me the peace and the grace just to be like, dude, relax. So I honestly just like, I went to the back of the line. I let everyone get in the line. I said, I'm just going to go in the back of the line because I know healing spiritually, physically healing. I also know I need to work on patience. So I just kind of had this moment of grace. Where I was like, all right, you know what? I think I'm going to go to the back of the line because I know your boy needs to work on patience. So, and now I figured the line would take 45 minutes. As I was about in line for an hour and a half, I was like, wow, I'm being tested right now, right? You know, God doesn't just give you patience. He gives you opportunities to be patient in. And boy, was it an opportunity. So I'm in this line. I'm going to see this relic. And it was actually a really good time for me to reflect on this challenging spirit, you know, I'm bringing into this moment. My kind of doubt. Oh, God, could you heal me? Am I supposed to be healed? Do you want me healed? Do you want me to be an example of someone who has Bell's palsy? Do you want me to suffer greatly? Do you want me to offer up prayers? You know, all these things of what I can do, how I should be. Should I have Bell's palsy? Should I not? And I'm thinking all these things. I'm praying, you know, I'm trying to like stay in the moment of being prayerful and reverent as I'm waiting in line now to go up to this relic where I got like 10 seconds. And something I felt God say to me was like, you know, I put you exactly where I want you to be. this Bell's palsy is for a reason you maybe don't understand right now. But I also want to heal you from this. Now, my mind, my heart kind of says, well, like, do you actually want to heal me from this? Because if you wanted to heal me, then you'd just heal me. But what I was brought to in this moment was physically being healed, but also having to have my heart be healed. And my heart not be healed with Bell's palsy. My heart can't get Bell's palsy. That's a heart attack. If you're feeling Bell's palsy in your heart, that's a heart attack. Call the doctor. Go to the hospital. If you're feeling Bell's palsy in your heart. For real though. I was feeling like I needed to be healed of control in my life. That God wants to heal me of knowing all the outcomes of my life. Doing the quick math in my head and understanding, oh, I know exactly how this is going to play out. I'm going to wait in line to get healed. I'm not going to get healed. God wants me to suffer, you know, suffer peacefully and offer up my sufferings, and I go on my merry way. I get it. Or, you know, there's people who have worse sufferings in here. You know, if someone's in a wheelchair, they're not going to get healed because, you know, that's too great of a pressure on that person or on a church to have that type of miracle. You know, I get it. No one's going to get healed from that. And I feel like what God was working in me is like, you know, I want you to understand that I want to heal you. I want to bring healing you, but I also want your heart to be healed of control. I want you to let go of control, to just let go of, you know, let go of this idea that I know every outcome of everything in life, in the faith, in, you know, what I have going on with myself. Because, you know, for the Catholics out, for the cradle Catholics out there, you know, the cradle Christians, which again, I think is always a funny term. I never heard that term cradle Catholic growing up. I only heard it when I was like in my 20s. Like, what is that? It means, oh, like you're Catholic since birth, you're since the cradle. I was like, well, I did grow up around all Catholics, so I don't think we're calling each other cradle Catholics. It's just your friends, it's just people in your life. Yeah, but I think for all the cradle Catholics out there, it's easy to be dismissive and doubtful and cynical of the powerful and mysterious and miraculous things of our faith, because because doubt can creep in, you know, it's easy to get cynical of these things because, you know, when you just live your life every day for years and years and years and you don't see these miraculous things, it can be easy to just get monotonous and fall into a routine and just kind of go through the motions. And I know I feel that way. I know I have felt that way. And so what I felt like God was trying to tell me as I'm waiting on this line is like, hey, I also want to heal your heart to know that, like, I want powerful things to happen. I want to show my power through you and through other people. Don't just walk in here and say, well, I can't be healed, because that's not faith. That's not trusting God. That's me walking in with a closed and hard heart. And I was reminded of the Bible verse in the book of John, John chapter 9, where Jesus sees a blind man in the temple who's a beggar. And the apostles ask him, Lord, you know, why is he blind? Who sinned, his mother, his father? Which back then, you know, people believed physical ailments were the results of sin. Like, if you were a beggar, that's because you did bad things, or your mom or dad did bad things. That's why you're poor. That's why you're, you know, that's why you're having a hard life. But Jesus flips it on its head, where he says, neither his father nor his mother were a sinner. This man is not a sinner. When they go, well, why is he like this? Why is he blind? And Jesus says, this man is blind so I can show my works through him. So God can show his works and power through him. And then he heals the man. His eyes are, you know, awoken, and people are going, whoa, what? Like, this guy's healed. We've seen this guy outside the temple for years. And now he's healed. You know, it says like people were, you know, astonished and brought to the faith, you know, following Jesus because seeing that. So I think, you know, that's such a great reminder and verse of like, hey, like, we can look at something. I can look at Bell's palsy as just kind of punishment, I guess. Oh, just a curveball life throws at me. I can also look at it as a way for God to show his power through me. Very hard. Very hard to do. Because what if it's like, well, do I want to be, you know, walk around and be like, God's power was shown through me. My face was not moving. Now it's moving. That's a responsibility too. So I was reminded of this verse, God was working in my heart, to just like let go of control, let go of pride, let go of this idea that I know it all. God was like, dude, just let go of this idea that you know it all, that you know exactly how it's going to go. And I was in line, I was talking with, so I'm kind of getting closer to the relic, and I'm in line, I'm talking, there's a Eastern Orthodox priest who's there, who's talking about the relics, and the icon that oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. And he was just like, yeah man, powerful things can happen. And I was in a good space, and I just, again, I had to let go of control of time, of being, you know, impatient. I had to let go of control of, that I know how it's all going to go. So I just was like, all right, I'm just going to try my, I'm just going to be as humble as I can and have the softest heart as I can. So I get up there, I say my prayers, I touch the relic, I touch a couple of rosaries to the relic that they then become third order relics. And I get out of there, and I'm kind of like, I get in the car, I'm looking at my face. Oh, how are we doing? Is this, are we moving or no? And, nothing really. But over the course of the next couple of days, I actually noticed I could blink now. So as you can see, I can shut my eyes. I couldn't do that before I went to this relic. I could not shut this eye. So now I can shut my eyes. I have to think about it, but I can. I can smile a little bit on this side. As you can see, I can smile. I can move this nostril the tiniest little bit. I can move this eyebrow up to here. None of which I could really do before. And I noticed people saying, whoa, dude, your face has got like a lot better. Whoa, your face got a lot. Oh my gosh, your face is literally almost back to normal. All in, 2 days later. 2 days later. About 30 people came up to me and said, wow, your face is like almost completely better. Wow. Oh my God. Oh, your face is like basically better. I didn't even notice it. Now it's not completely healed, but I then had the choice to make which was, yeah, man, just kind of gets better, or explain, hey, I actually went to this relic conference. I don't know what it's called. This relic conference. I saw the relic of St. Jude and they asked for healing from God, and he's brought a big jump in healing for me. And I was able to say that to some people. People were like, whoa, this is pretty cool. People were like, wow, and I, it was, what was even better though, for me, than the physical healing, was kind of the 2 hours I was in church, like three hours. What was better for me was the 3 hours I was in line and at church waiting, where God was just kind of bringing me through this like mental Olympics of like tearing down the walls of my heart, tearing down the hardest heart, tearing down the pride, tearing down the, tearing down all of, the control I have over my life, tearing down parts of it, where I was able to then go up to that relic and just say, like, Lord, heal me. Like, heal me. Not like if it's your will, if you want this to happen. I was just like, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me. I'm coming to you with a humble heart saying, I want physical healing on my face. Please give it to me. Because I believe you can. I believe you can heal me. And he did. People, he healed me to a good extent. it got him, you know, the closing the eye, that's huge for me because I've had to patch my eye for months and it's so annoying and it would get so dry and irritated and I would cry out of it constantly. My head would hurt. There was a lot of pain associated with it. But now that's drastically gone down because I can actually blink, get moisture into my eye, my cornea. It doesn't feel like it's working overtime. So that's awesome. So that's like I received that healing. I am in a lot less pain than I was. Great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really even know what I was expecting. You know, was I expecting my face just to magically shoot back to normal? I don't know. But I do know that I've had a huge drastic jump in healing and pain has lessened a lot. So, you know, God healed me through the relic. And to say that is powerful for me because, again, I want to default into the natural explanations for things. Because as someone in my mid-30s who's been in around the faith for my life, it's easy to naturally explain things. It's much harder to supernaturally explain things. It's easier to be skeptical and filled with doubt than it is to be filled with hope and wonder and expected faith. So this idea of expectant faith, of healing, of God wanting good things for us was just like this huge thing that I got basically brought to. You know, it was like I got brought to closer to the idea of living and praying with expectant faith from God because he wants to do good things for us because we're his children. And he did that through the Bell's palsy. You know, he did that through the healing of Bell's palsy. It wasn't like I just walked in. Again, I was expecting to walk in and not get healed or walk in 3 minutes. Okay, I got healed. Great. Now it's all back to normal. Oh, cool. What a glory story. But what God really wanted to do with me is to heal me of doubt. God really wanted to heal me of skepticism. Patch up those wounds of, you know, yeah, self-doubt, of eye-rolling faith, you know, of, oh, here we go, faith. Let's not over-spiritualize it, faith. God wanted to heal me of those things. At least put me on the right path and the right trajectory of healing towards that. So that is what I kind of like learned through this. It was kind of this like really crazy night, crazy few days where I, again, experienced physical healing, but even more so experienced this healing of my soul, healing my heart, a repairing of my faith to be more expectant. So that's it for me today. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast with someone. Share with someone who maybe needs some healing, maybe who's going to be in the path of the St. Jude relic. But appreciate you all so much. Thank you for just being here with me. Leave a comment, reach out to me. Let's keep the conversation going offline. Let's keep the conversation going about anything. You know, you can always reach out to me and talk to me about anything. I love what you guys text, call, DM, whatever it is. It just makes my day and I love doing it. So thank you all so much. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace. Bye.